Hello and welcome to another episode of The Messed Up Gardener. My name is Esther Aiken. I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. Firstly, let me apologise for being late this week because I live in a semi-industrial area. There is always an alarm or two going off and there's no problem with that, right? Especially when they're going for short periods of time. But in this case, an alarm basically started Friday night after five and it just kept going. There was a couple of slight intermissions over the weekend, but mostly not. It just kept going. It is now, as I'm trying to record this for yet the third time, late Monday night. And I'll tell you, we're absolutely knackered. We've tried everything, including wearing my chainsaw earmuffs. Yes, you know, we ended up stopping in at the particular shop during the day today and politely ask them to, if they have an unmanned alarm, to just not use it at all because we would like to A, sleep, and B, we're all working and there are children around. So again, I apologize. It has been extremely hard to record anything, let alone do anything with that nasty sound blaring in our ears. We ended up just taking off for Sunday afternoon just to get away from that noise. Trust me, spending time in the garden wearing chainsaw earmuffs isn't my idea of fun, especially when I'm not actually using a chainsaw. I mean, that's just cruel. Regardless, we have had some relatively good winds this week too. And with hubby building me my grow room for the mushrooms, we're now sitting on about 38 odd trial bags sitting in the dark room with the next batch expected to go next Tuesday or Wednesday night. I'm trying to get it so that I'm producing at least 50 to 60 kilos of my gourmet mushrooms a week and then sell them at farmers markets or pretty much whatever markets are going. But to begin with, I really do need to dial them in. And we're also establishing, like I've mentioned before, some hydroponics around the house, and whatever excess produce I have from those systems will also go to the markets with us. I'm super, super excited. I've also just ordered my first lot of pink oyster mushroom spawn. So who knows how that's going to look in the long run, but it is worth, you know, spending a bit of time getting it right. But regardless, let's have a look at today's topic, which stems a little bit from my beefsteak tomatoes that I've been growing in my old bee boxes. I used the traditional wooden stakes for them, for a few of them, but as you know, beefsteak tomatoes can get horrendously big and require quite a bit of support. So ultimately, I just started looking at different ways of doing it, and I ended up using some old rebar squares. These are basically steel squares all welded together, and they are used to support concrete driveways, but I've been using them for some of the tomatoes and basically tying up some of the main stems to support mostly the tomato growth, especially because of the weight of the tomato, and I've had quite a bit of success, and it did get me thinking as to other options, and I didn't particularly want to go out and buy new trellising or anything either. So I started looking at, you know, the support systems I could use, and I, you know, basically it was a classic let's have a chat about it in today's episode. So garden structures range obviously from trellises to creeping supports, climbers, you know, that sort of stuff, and they play a crucial role in supporting plant growth and enhancing garden aesthetics. So I'm going to go through some of the reasons why utilizing structures that can be used for support for any particular plants can be highly beneficial. The first reason is obviously pretty self-explanatory, and that is garden structures become support for climbing plants. Many plants such as ivy, roses, and beans are all natural climbers and require support to grow upwards. Garden structures like trellises and pergolas provide the necessary support, enabling these plants to receive more sunlight and, of course, air, which is essential for their growth and flowering. But often garden structures for plant growth support is also a way to maximize limited space. For those with smaller gardens, vertical gardening, you know, using structures such as the vertical planters and wall-mounted support allow for the cultivation of more plants in a limited area. This is especially useful in urban settings where ground space is a premium, and this is obviously where some of my hydroponic stuff will be coming in because I'm maximizing on that limited space. But in the case of my tomatoes, it was also a way to improve plant health. Now, by elevating plants off the ground, garden structures help to reduce the risk of soil-borne diseases and pests. This elevation also improves air circulation around the plants, which is beneficial in preventing fungal diseases. And I did notice a dramatic decrease, particularly in a bit of blight, but my structures most importantly enhance the fruit quality. And for fruit-bearing plants such as tomatoes and cucumbers, using supports like cages and stakes can improve that fruit quality. It keeps the fruit off the ground, reducing the risk of rotting and making it a less accessible fruit, you know, berries, whatever, to pests. And I don't have a massive amount of space to realistically grow beefsteak tomatoes. I don't actually know what I was thinking when I decided to plant them this year. I know they're one of my favorites, and every time I plant them, I regret it because of the space that they take. But having growing them on this version of trellising, it has been much, much easier maintenance and harvesting. And garden structures obviously make it easier to maintain plants and harvest produce. For instance, the trellis plants are more accessible for pruning, and vegetables grown on supports are quicker and easier to pick. Something I've also noticed, and this can be because of the whole extra airflow and the fact that I'm keeping healthier tomato plants. And it seems that it has an effect of season extension as well. The structures like cold frames and greenhouses can protect plants from early or late frosts, obviously, extending the growing season in cooler climates. This allows us gardeners to start our growing seasons earlier and end it later. I know our temperatures are starting to drop. We're currently in an autumn phase, and we've had a few colder nights already, with a warning of several days of rain coming and very much colder nights. No, this is not helping our kiwi fruit orchard at all. We're so close to passing for picking, it's not funny anymore. We're literally in another couple of nights, you know, cold nights, and our black seed volume will end up, well, as soon as it's up and it can pass ready for picking. And then we've just got to keep our fingers crossed that there's a nice dry day to get it picked. But I digress. Having a few garden structures for plant growth and plant support can also have an aesthetic appeal. So beyond their practical benefits, garden structures can add significant aesthetic value to a garden. An arbor covered in flowering vines or a well-placed gazebo can be the focal point of a garden, enhancing its beauty and creating that tranquil space for relaxation and enjoyment. Now, I also believe we completely undervalue how important having garden structures in the garden are when creating microclimates. So strategically placed garden structures can create those microclimates within the garden. For example, a shaded structure can provide a cooler area for shade-loving plants, while a greenhouse can obviously create that warm and humid environment for tropical plants, and this microclimate can lead to wildlife support. Now, garden structures can provide habitats and support for wildlife. Trellises and arbores can serve as perches and, you know, for nesting sites for birds, while certain plants grown on these structures can provide food for pollinators such as bees and butterflies. And let's not forget the most important factor is that garden structures can also increase yield. So by providing optimal conditions for growth, make sure you've got great soil around it, but the garden structures can help increase the overall yield of fruits, vegetables, and flowers. This makes them an invaluable tool for both home gardeners and obviously commercial growers like us with the kiwi fruit, aiming to maximize our harvest. Incorporating garden structures into an outdoor space can thus offer multiple benefits, from practical advantages like improved plant health and increased yield to aesthetic enhancements that transform your garden into lush, inviting oases. Yes, I am using oases in a sentence. It's all great and wonderful for me to say have some garden structures in your garden, but it would be remiss of me to not have a conversation about the maintenance of these structures. So I'm going to just quickly run over a couple of tips. on how to maintain garden structures for plant growth. So maintaining garden structures and keeping them in top condition is essential for promoting that healthy plant growth and ensuring your garden remains as a beautiful and a productive space. Now, the first tip is to make sure you have a regular inspection of the structure itself. Periodically inspect your garden structures for signs of wear, damage or instability. Look out for rust on metal structures, rot or insect damage in wood, and cracks in plastic. Early detection of issues can prevent them from getting much, much worse. The next is definitely something that isn't often done because it's one of those things that sit in your garden and can easily be overlooked, and that is to make sure that you factor in some time for cleaning. Keeping your structures clean to prevent the buildup of dirt, algae, and fungi, which can damage the materials, you know, that can damage the materials over time. Of course, I had to add in fungi considering I'm growing mushrooms, but use a mild soap and water solution for cleaning most surfaces and consider a gentle pressure wash for hard to clean areas. Okay, so you have inspected the structures now and you've been keeping it relatively clean. But during your cleaning and your inspections, you've noticed that you have some defects. So, of course, it's important to remember to complete timely repairs. Repair any damage as soon as possible to maintain the integrity of the structure. This may involve replacing broken parts, patching holes, or reinforcing areas that have become weak over time. Everybody has a different idea of what the structure should be, but something that is very important, and that is to make sure that it does have a form of protective coating. Apply protective coatings to wood, metal, and other, you know, susceptible materials. For wood structures, use a suitable sealant or wood preservative to protect against rot and insect damage, i.e. painting. Metal surfaces or metal structures may benefit from rust-resistant paint. Having that protective coating will also encourage the longevity of the structure. Now, again, it is important as part of the maintenance also of the structure is to prune surrounding vegetation. So keep plants and vines that grow on or near your structures well pruned. Overgrown vegetation can add undue weight and moisture, potentially causing damage or encouraging decay. So you've got a bit of extra weight on it and you notice it's a bit jiggly. So again, look at adjustments and tightening. Regularly check and tighten any loose bolts or fittings that connect parts of your garden structures. And this helps ensure stability and prevents damage from parts moving or rubbing against each other. Now, I know I've mentioned pruning of surrounding vegetation, but also this goes for weed control. So keep the area around your garden structures free of weeds. Weeds can contribute to moisture retention and might harbour pests that could damage the structures. This all absolutely leads perfectly into pest control. So inspect for signs of pest infestation, such as termites and wood structures. Use appropriate pest control methods to protect your garden structures from damage. And if your seasons are very defined, say you have snow in winter, then make sure you have your garden plan in place for seasonal preparation. Prepare your structures for changes in season. This might include additional waterproofing before the raining season or adding shade cloth to protect plants from the harsh summer sun. And if you do have things like weather vanes, then clearly it is important too to keep up with the lubrication for moving parts such as hinges or gates. Regular lubrication can prevent rusting and ensure smooth operation. Use a suitable lubricant that is safe for outdoor use, obviously, and that won't harm your plants. By following some of these simple maintenance tips, you can absolutely extend the life of your garden structures. You can enhance the beauty of your garden and provide a supportive environment for plant growth. So regular maintenance not only preserves the functionality and aesthetics of your garden structures, but also contributes to a vibrant and thriving garden ecosystem. Okay, so I've covered the reasons I have, you know, in garden structures and the maintenance of them. So let's have a look at what some effective recycled materials are that can be utilized for effective plant growing support structures. The increasing awareness of sustainable practices in gardening and agriculture has led to innovative uses of recycled materials as support structures for plant growth. These eco-friendly solutions not only help reduce waste, but also promote a greener environment. One effective material is bamboo. Although not traditionally considered recycled, bamboo can be repurposed from various uses such as furniture or construction scaffolding, depending on what part of the world you're in. It's a highly renewable resource that makes excellent stakes or trellises for supporting climbing plants, tomatoes or beans, basically passion fruit, anything really. Its strength and flexibility offer great support and it blends in beautifully with the natural garden environment. I have used bamboo a lot in my garden in the past, and over time I have actually replaced some of it with a little bit more hardier type climbing structures, but bamboo will do in a pinch, and you can often find them relatively cheap. So plastic bottles are another resourceful recycled material. Cut and inverted large plastic bottles can serve as protective closures for your young plants, safeguarding them from pests and harsh weather. Smaller bottles can be cut and used as plant markers or even as small containers for starting seeds. With a bit of creativity, plastic bottles can be transformed into self-watering planters, reducing water waste and ensuring plants receive a steady moisture supply. Again, it depends how you use these plastic bottles. I really like using the soda bottles, not that we drink a lot, but I do get some from my friends, and I cut them so that I can grow my celery in them, acting as a support. So again, garden structures can come in all shapes, sizes, colours, etc. Metal wire or old metal coat hangers, often discarded as waste, can also be reshaped into sturdy supports for plants. They can be crafted into cages or frames for climbing plants, providing ample support for, you know, vigorous growers like cucumbers or peas. Additionally, you know, mesh panels or old window screens can be repurposed as trellises as well, and offering again a broader surface for plants to cling to and climb. Now, utilizing these recycled materials as plant support structures not only contributes to a sustainable lifestyle, but also adds a unique charm to your garden. It is a testament to the idea that with a bit of creativity, we can find valuable uses for materials that would otherwise be considered waste. Again, everybody has different ideas of what they can use for garden structures, and some of the things I've talked about are only just the tip of the iceberg. And yes, there are items that can be a bit of trial and error, and they don't have to cost a lot of money either. I mean, you can even create garden supports out of plant, you know, sort of plaiting twine between stakes, or using simple amounts of rope strung from different areas. I know that the effort I put into creating the supports for my tomatoes have definitely paid off, and I know that I will definitely be using these rhubarb systems again next year, although I will, like I tell myself every year, plant tomatoes that are actually fit for purpose rather than just because I like the taste of them. But then who am I kidding? Of course I'll be planting them again, and of course I'll be doing it messy and trying very carefully to not break my tomato plants so that I keep getting a longer harvest. Now, I hope that there was something of interest in this episode. Again, I do apologize for the delay, but it wouldn't have been fair if I tried to record with horrible alarms in the background. If you do have any gardening questions, please do reach out. I'm going to keep compiling a list, and every now and again, I'll do an episode on a bunch of combined questions every week. I mention this, don't be shy. Let me know if you're needing some private coaching, no matter what level, from beginner to experienced. Reach out and let's chat. I have a few one-on-one gardening mentoring spots available. Sometimes it really is just easier to accomplish a task or a project having a gardening mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Case in point, my dark room and my fruiting rooms being established right now for my mushrooms. I would not have been able to get to this point by myself, and having somebody with the capable skills of building and getting it done has made a huge amount of difference. Flick me a DM or email me and let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details, as always, are in the show notes. Don't forget to email, like I said, and as always, I say gardening can happen in any space and in any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week. I'll try and be on time next Sunday. I'll buzz you all later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at TheMessedUpGardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out the Let's Biz You Up podcast available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening and buzz you later.